Welcome to Grand Central. Embark on a multi-generational journey of conversations filled with insight, encouragement, and wisdom. A special time set aside for grandparents. Here's your host, best-selling author, acclaimed speaker, and devoted grandfather, best known as Pop Pop, Tim Huff.
Hello, Grand Central listeners. Welcome back for another week. And I am so excited to tell you, those of you who are here next week, you already know. Those of you who weren't, you might want to go back and listen that Kathy Ostapchuk was with us last week. And she is with us again this week. Went through kind of some of Kathy's bio in ministry terms and in life terms. So make sure you listen to last week's episode. You can find them all at grand-central.ca. You'll find the Steve Bell stuff there, the Paul Robertson stuff there, kind of my solo shows, and these great shows with Kathy are there as well. Welcome back, Kathy.
Good to be here.
Thank you for being here. Spring is coming. So that's good news, right? We get through the winters and we look to the springs and we sense newness around us, but even in our hearts, I think we get the idea that, oh, maybe something new is in front of us. The extra sunlight, maybe that's what it is. Before we get into more of your story, now we're going to focus more about your role as grandma. Do you go by grandma or?
Grams.
Grams. Okay. Very cool. Very hip. I'm Pop Pop. In my world, you're Grams in your world. That's very cool. As we enter into talking about the ever humbling role as a grandparent, I wanted to share this funny little story I stumbled across. I know my own mom who's listening, who's a listener of this radio show. She's a grandmother to seven and adult grandchildren and a great grandmother to seven children and two more on the way. So my mom is still listening. My dad's also listening as well. But I know this story will make my mom laugh, so I'm putting it in here for mom. After putting her grandchildren to bed, a grandmother changed into old slacks and a droopy blouse and proceeded to wash her hair. As she heard the children getting more and more rambunctious, her patience grew thin. At last, she threw a towel around her head and stormed into their room, putting them back to bed with stern warnings. As she left the room, she heard the three-year-old say with a trembling voice, "Who was that?" Grandparenting is a humbling journey, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just such a great little story about how humbling you can be. You're doing all your best and everything else. And then when you feel you have to do almost a bit of the parent version of it, when you're, you know, caring for them, all of a sudden you're humbled again. I always say, and this time you're doing it with like less physical strength, a little more fatigue, a little more rest. So, Kathy, tell us a bit about the four grandchildren in your life that fill you with joy and keep you humbled.
Yes.
Who are they and where are they?
So Archer Allen is our oldest. He's 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And he is my daughter's first son and our first grandchild. And he lives in Winnipeg. And his brother, 17 months younger, is Hendrix Montgomery Allen.
Hendrix?
Hendrix.
My listeners know I always jump in front of any rock and roll reference.
Absolutely.
That his name is Hendrix is very cool.
Absolutely.
Okay. Does that have anything to do with Jimi Hendrix? Are there fans in your family or is it just a cool choice?
My son-in-law is sort of it could be from him.
Very cool. I didn't mean to stop you. Hendrix, okay, continue on. Sorry.
So they live in Winnipeg. And after Archer was born a few months, my daughter and son-in-law decided that that's where they wanted to move. And sort of abruptly, they kind of made the decision and off they went.
Where were they before? They were close to you?
Yeah, they were in Burlington.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, that was interesting. I didn't know, okay, this is here we go. My oldest grandson is now halfway across the country.
Oh, my.
So we'll talk about that. We'll unpack that.
Yeah. But
and then my son, Jordan, and his lovely wife, Laura, they live in Burlington, and they have two little guys. Jake Atlas is 6 years old, and Luke Maple is 2 years old.
Wow, Jake Atlas and Luke Maple.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really cool names.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all your grandkids have rock star names. Like, that's very cool. Okay, so let me see. Talk to us about, because we will have a lot of listeners who will totally relate to this conversation. The vast differences and or the similarities, the parts where that would be similar, in grandparenting children who are close and those who are far away. In your case, I Googled this. Town to town, you've got grandkids that are 20 kilometers away and grandkids that are 2,000 kilometers away.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us a bit about what it feels like to grandparent both sets of groups.
Well, I had
sets of kids.
Okay, that's a great question. And I had it modeled for me. So when I got married, I left Edmonton the day after my wedding and moved to Mississauga, because that's where my husband was from. So I watched my parents and how they made all the effort in the world to be close to my three children. So they would come out from Edmonton, literally babysit our kids, pick them up and fly them back to Edmonton while my husband and I did business travel.
Well, they'd come and take them back.
Come and take them back and take them to meet all their relatives, take them cherry picking in BC, take them to family weddings, take them to anywhere. And they just kind of absorb them into their life year after year and then fly them back, bring them back, or I'd fly out and pick them up. When they couldn't do that anymore, financially and otherwise, they'd come and stay with us, but they'd come for a week at a time. So they'd be in the house with the kids, you know, morning, noon, and night. And so that's different than the weekly, you know, visits you can have with your kids that are closer. Yes. And both create possibilities for really amazing relationships.
Right. Wow. And do you feel the same connection? Is it possible to feel the same connection when kids are 2,000 kilometers away or 20?
Yes. So in my case, our kids were more connected to the western part of the family and my parents than my husband's parents, for lots of different reasons, just because they just felt the love and they made it happen. They made it work. They invested, obviously, financially for flights and travel. But time, they invested time. Like, they would give big pockets of time. And, you know, I'd always have big binders with all the instructions and whether they followed them or not. But, you know, we'd come home to, you know, pierogies in the freezer and, you know, kids maybe not wearing the outfits that you wanted them to, like a little bit. But they felt so well loved. And now I just assumed that they would be like that. But I look at them and they weren't young. Yeah. And I don't know how they did all the things that they did, but they just made those
kids. How do your kids reflect on that?
Oh, they, with great, great fondness. They knew they were loved. You know, they, at both my parents' celebrations of life, you know, my kids were quite impacted and quite moved. So they miss them a lot.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Now, for you then, you're following that kind of role model sensibility of it.
I just
that they set in it for you.
Yeah, I just stepped right into it after I started talking to my daughter again for her moving without consulting with me. It took me a while. Like, how can you do this? But, you know, they're in a wonderful community there. She's on staff at a great church. You know, they have a beautiful life they're building. I just kicked into gear and we're going to make it happen. We're going to see each other. We're going to, you know, ka-ching, ka-ching, pay for whatever flights we can. But it's not cheap to go to Winnipeg, believe it or not. You could fly to LA and back for cheaper, but
there's fewer flights.
Yeah. But we just make it work. And so we were just out there, my husband and I, in December. And when you're living with them, you know, in 24-hour, 48-hour, 72-hour segments, you just get to know them in a different way. And with my daughter, she gives us full access to them. So sometimes I'll go out there and they won't see their kids for a few days because I'll have them here and there and everywhere. I'll put them to bed, do all of the things. But she lets me do that. And my son-in-law lets me do that. So they let me actually step in and just become a real part of their lives. So,
well, now, a lot of our listeners will still be back on something you said 2 or 3 minutes ago. These are the ones who their children have said they're packing up and moving their family far away. Mm-hmm. Another province, another country, far away in the same province, whatever it is. And they're alarmed and they're upset. And even though they're terribly loving, that's probably why they're alarmed and upset. They're going to have to wrap their head around this How did you and your husband do that?
Well, actually, my daughter did share with me, she said, we feel that God has brought us here.
Well, that makes it hard to
debate.
You
can't really say, oh, okay. And, you know, my husband kept praying, oh, Lord, would you bring them back? And at one point,
right?
I said, we can't pray that anymore. We have to pray what's best for them. And I'm always, with any of my kids, I'm checking, like, are they healthy, like spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally? What are their marriages like? I'm not micromanaging, but I'm looking for, you know, how can I best support them? So every time I went out there, they come, my mantra is like, I want to leave things better than I found them. So how can I best support them? So sometimes it will be they need more marriage time, so send them on a date. Or, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes they need groceries. Or sometimes, whatever it is, how do I leave it better than I found them? And when you're there for more intensive periods, you know, you just kind of assess the situation and say, okay, what do they need most from me right now? And the kids' needs are always changing too, so.
Yeah, imagine this, we come back and this have this conversation 10 years from now when they're all teenagers.
Oh, yeah. I can't bear the thought of them growing. I just want them to stay the ages they are.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, that's fascinating that you've been able to, fascinating in the best way possible, that you've been able to change your mindset about them being that far. I think about the grandparents that are listening who don't have resources to fly and visit or help out or do, you know, host when kids come over. They might be in small apartments and things like that. I guess this is where we can use technology for the good. I mean, we've talked so much. We had Paul Robertson here talking about lots of the technology concerns, but all of a sudden you can actually see your grandkids, not just call Saturday after midnight or whatever, because that's the cheapest rate. I mean, think about when 30 years ago we were always looking for the best time to make a phone call. Now you can FaceTime anytime.
You can. And, you know, I think part of the myth is that if I'm not physically there, I don't have influence in them, with them. But to kids, I mean, they love you on FaceTime. But you have to put a little bit of work into it. You can't just get on and think they're going to be happy with a straight conversation. Sometimes you'll have to stand on your head or whatever you do. But think during COVID, when you couldn't even see people close to you, you bring out the toys and you play with them, or you send them, you know, or they love getting letters in the mail with their, stickers. You can do it if you're intentional. You can make it work. It's not perfect, right? It's never perfect. But you just do what you can. And sometimes they won't reciprocate. But there are lots of creative ways. And yes, for sure, use technology. Or record yourself reading a story and send it to them to listen to.
It's about creativity and intentionality and having them know what a priority they are regardless. There are no number of kilometers that change what a priority they are in your heart, in your mind, that you're thinking of them every day, praying for them every day, caring. You want to hear the little stories about lost teeth and what happened at recess and all the way up into the teenage years when we're going to be just asking about how math class went and your first date and your driver's license and oh my. Wow. Another episode already. Time flies with you, Kathy. Such a lovely guest to have. So Kathy will be back next week as well. So we're headed well into spring with Kathy Ostapchuk as our esteemed guest. We're going to close with our benediction as always. May peace and joy be abundant on your grandparenting journey. May you find comfort in knowing you have done your very best to be at your best during this profound and reflective chapter in your life. And may the expressions of your tender heart bring great light and goodness to the precious young ones that you cherish. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Thank you for joining us for Grand Central. Engaged and loving grandparents have proven over and over to be life-giving and life-changing in young lives throughout history. But the need for grandparents and all they have to offer has perhaps never been as great as it is today. The Grand Central goals are to inspire, honor, and help resource grandparents on their journey of goodness. If you're a grandparent or grandfriend and would like to share your experience or leave a thoughtful comment, please visit grand-central.ca. Tune in to Grand Central with Tim Huff every Wednesday at 3 p.m. here on Joy. Grand Central is a Youth Unlimited initiative.